It's always a treat for me to be with you. You might remember from my having been here before, we're going to take a little break right now. We've been praying so fervently and we've been listening very carefully. We'll take a short break and then go back to more active listening, okay? I have a story for you. The 767 taxied down the tarmac and abruptly stopped, turned around, and returned to the gate. After an hour-long wait, it finally took off. A concerned passenger asked the flight attendant, "What exactly was the problem?" "Well," the flight attendant said, "the pilot was bothered by a noise he heard in the engine, and it took us a while to find a new pilot." Okay, some of you are going to get that a little later today. Why did the two gate builders start fighting? Because they were fencing. I know, that's a bad one. Sarah steps in front of a bus and dies instantly. She finds herself at the pearly gates, being greeted by God himself. He looks at her and says, "That's strange, Sarah. It's not your time. I'm sending you back." "Sending me back," says Sarah. "How long is my time?" "Oh, don't worry, Sarah," God says. "You'll live to be 108 years old." And blip, she's back on Earth. If I'm going to live to the ripe old age of 108, I might as well look my best, she says. So she heads to the plastic surgeon. She gets a facelift, a tummy tuck, and goes to the beauty shop to get her hair colored and styled. She looks stunning. As she walks out of the salon, bam, she's hit by a bus and dies. One more time, she's at the pearly gates, and again, there she is, greeted by God. "What in the world was that?" she exclaims. "You told me I'd live to be 108. God looks her up and down and says, "Oh, Sarah, I didn't recognize you." You knew that was coming. Okay. I just saw two guys stealing my neighbor's gate. I didn't say anything because I didn't want them to take offense. I better quit before you take offense. Maybe you already have. I'd like to talk about three things today. First of all, life is a funnel, all right? And then what is this narrow gate that Jesus is talking about? And finally, we'll reflect for a bit on why wait. This is all going to string together, I pray. All right? Life as a funnel. Think about it. I did. In April of 1991, I was pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Andover, and the tornado there destroyed most of my possessions. I had the clothes on my back and a few rescued items. Then in June 2011, 20 years later, Bishop Jakels asked me to go to Pittsburgh, Kansas, to Our Lady of Lourdes Parish. In 20 years, I had accumulated a two-story house full of stuff. I gave most of that to my nieces and nephews, who were delighted, and I pared everything down to two rooms that I would have at the rectory in Pittsburgh. In June 2018, 7 years later, Bishop Kemi asked me to go to the St. Joseph House of Formation, and somehow I had managed to sprinkle stuff all through the rectory at Our Lady of Lourdes. Again, my nieces and nephews and the parish goodwill got some of the piles of stuff. In July of last year, Bishop Kemi asked me to go to the Priest's Retirement Center as director. In the 3 years I'd been at the House of Formation, I'd furnished my three rooms and collected extra stuff that was all through the house. I gave piles to the seminarians and to my family, and I scaled back so that everything would fit in my apartment. I threw away stuff, including some boxes of things that I had brought from Andover, you know? It is a lot of work to go through everything you own. And it's amazing to me how stuff keeps piling up, you know? It's hard, though, to decide what goes, what stays, who you give what to. It's crazy. I don't want to move again, except maybe to move to paradise, God willing. That's my prayer. This last week, Father Michael Peltzer, who retired in 2018, moved from the Priest's Retirement Center to the Catholic Care Center, to the Continuous Care area. He moved from his three small rooms in his apartment to one even smaller room in the care center. It made me realize that all of life is pushing us through the narrow gate. It's like a funnel, you know? We all go through that, I think, giving up things, getting less and less able to handle it all, maybe to the point that we're not able to feed ourselves or perform the simplest human functions. Life is a funneling process until we finally return to God as possessionless as we were when we entered this life. What is this narrow gate that Jesus talks about today? I think that narrow gate is a surrender, a giving up of the things that I cling to, letting go of stuff that's been piled on me, either by myself or by others. The narrow gate is the way of purification, the way of freedom. I've learned in my many moves that it's very freeing to get rid of stuff. You have less stuff to worry about, to cart around. It's very liberating and freeing, purifying. Jesus says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. Strive to enter by the narrow gate. Why? Is he being cruel? Does God get a kick out of taking things away from us? No. It's that God loves us just as we were created. We were brought with nothing but ourselves when we came into this world, and we take nothing out of it except ourselves when we leave. C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, says it this way: keep nothing back. Nothing that we have that we have not given away will really be ours. And nothing in us that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. So enter, strive to enter by the narrow way. And why wait? I mean, the freest people that I know are those who don't put their trust in being healthy, and they're not owned by their possessions, but see them as a gift to be shared. You know, we don't have to be at death's door to surrender to that narrow way. We don't have to have died in order to let go of the things and the people of this life. Why wait? Why not enjoy the freedom that comes from that narrow way to the Lord? Life is a funneling process, and Jesus understood that. He says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. And we don't have to wait for life to dictate the funneling, like I did with all my moves, you know? We can begin today. I have learned to be very careful about what I bring into my life, because I know eventually I'm going to have to let go of some of those things. It's easy to get caught up in the race to accumulate, whether that's things or people or possessions or positions or power. We become anxious with all that stuff, like Martha was a few weeks ago in Luke's gospel, where Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. There is only need of one thing." That day, Mary chose the better portion, to give up her busyness so she could be with Jesus, listening to him as he spoke about the coming kingdom. You know, here is the secret about the narrow gate. If we don't keep our minds and hearts fixed on that, but instead fix our minds and hearts on what is beyond that gate, what is through that door, the kingdom of heaven is on the other side, and that's where we want to be going. There we will find rest for our restlessness, peace for our worries, fulfillment of our desires, undying eternal friendships. And there we will see the face of God.